Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Casper Faith family. It's good to have you with us today, as well as those of you who are joining us for the first time. We're so glad that you're with us for our online worship experience as we're worshiping Jesus together. Don't forget, next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating moms right here at the church, noon. We're going to be gathering up in our vehicles. We'll kind of circle chuck wagon style, making sure that we maintain social distancing. Bring your own lunch and lawn chairs, and we'll have a good time of fellowship, and we have gifts for all of the ladies. Last week, we started a series that we're calling Real Life, Discovering What Matters. And we're focusing on the essentials of life, those things that are basic, that are absolutely necessary. The word essential right now is a popular buzzword. Many things are considered essential. Essential businesses, essential employees, essential travel, essential items, essential things to get in the stores. And what we're focusing on, though, is what are the essentials of life. And the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the book of Colossians as the Apostle Paul addresses that. He was speaking to the Colossian church, which had been taught many false teachings about what life was really all about. He combated those things, and then in chapter 3, he says, this is what the real life is about, what Christianity is about. In chapter 3, verse 3, he says, your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. If you don't have Christ, you don't have real life. You're not living if you don't have a relationship with God. And here in chapter 3, Paul is going to address four relationships. Now, a lot of times when we think of relationships, we think of things relating to people, relationships with people. That is just one aspect of relationship. The definition of relationship is a connection, an association, or an involvement. And so Paul addresses four relationships we have, our relationship with sin. What's our connection, our association with sin, our involvement with sin? He addresses our relationship with the world, our relationship with God, and our relationship with people. And Paul is going to use, we're going to use four words that really kind of encapsulate these four relationships that we have. And these four words form the acrostic REAL, R-E-A-L. Last week, we looked at the first word, R. The letter R stands for righteous. When we become a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, we not only are forgiven of our sins, but God gives us the righteousness of Christ. So it's not just that we look sinless, we look righteous, we look perfect like Jesus. When we become followers of Christ, we get a new life, we get a new nature, we receive a new identity. But we have to choose to put on the new nature, this new identity that we have, so that we can be victorious, we can be free from sin, we can be overcomers over temptation and over all the negativity and the attacks that the enemy might want to throw at us. And Paul says, you have this real life, you're righteous, you have a new standing with God, God loves you, you're his beloved child. And so that's what encapsulates the first word, our relationship to sin. We're dead to sin, we should have nothing to do with it because we have a new life with Christ. This morning, we want to take a look at the letter E, and that stands for eternity purposed. And this addresses our relationship with the world, eternity purposed. We want our relationship with the world not to be focused on the world, but to be focused on eternity. It's really easy for us to tie our identity, to tie our fulfillment to the things of this world. Some of us may be really struggling with this right now. For example, we've lost our job, and for some people, their identity was really wrapped up in their job and what they did. And now that they've lost that, they're kind of floundering. They feel like they really don't know what to do. They don't want to get out of bed. They don't feel like doing anything. They've lost their purpose. Some of us can't do the things we used to do. We can't shop, can't go out to eat, can't go to movies, can't go to the places we used to go to, can't do the activities we used to do. And we're having a tough time with that because we've received our fulfillment from the things that we've done. Real life in Christ, however, is not tied to this world. Real life in Christ is tied to an eternal focus, an eternal purpose. And this morning, I want to share three principles about living an eternity purpose life. If you're taking notes this morning, number one, you were created to know God and to make a difference for His kingdom. You were created to know God and to make a difference for His kingdom. You were created for heaven. You were created for something greater than just this life here. God desires you and I to spend eternity with Him in heaven after this life. That's His purpose. Probably the most famous Bible verse in all of the Bible is John 3:16. Many of you could quote that verse. John 3:16 is God's purpose. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord wants everyone to spend eternity in heaven with Him. That's His purpose. And so what that means for us is that we've got to go after God with all we've got. And then secondly, because God desires whosoever, that means everyone, that means you and I need to passionately influence others so they go to heaven. We live our life to make a difference for the kingdom of God. But this is where the problem comes in. It is so easy for us to live for the world, to live for the things of this earth. I sum these up in something I call the three A's. We live for accolades. We want people to think well of us. We want to please people. We want them to affirm us and to praise us and to think highly of us. We live for accolades. We live for accomplishments. What can we achieve at work, at school, in our sports, in music, whatever field you might be in, we try to accomplish and achieve things. And then the third letter, A, is accumulations. What can we acquire? How much money? How much possessions? How much toys? How much fun can we have? It's about accumulating things in life. All of these things, though, are tied to this world, and they leave us empty. They are not the real life. They don't give us purpose. They don't give us fulfillment. Once there was a man who was terminally ill, and he told his wife, "Hey, when I die, before I die, I want you to take all of our money, I want you to put it into a pillowcase, and then put it up in the attic. Because when I die, when I go up to the ceiling up to heaven, I'm going to grab the pillowcase with all the money, and I'm going to take it with me on the way out of here." So the wife, she does what the husband asks. She does that. She gets the money together, puts it up there. A few days later, her husband dies. And she's grieving, and after a day or so, she remembers the pillowcase filled with money. She runs up to the attic, and there is the pillowcase right where she placed it. And she says, "Man, I knew I should have put the pillowcase in the basement." Now, you and I know that it doesn't matter where the pillowcase was at. It could have been in the attic, it could have been in the basement, but it would have stayed there no matter what. And the reason is because we cannot take anything of earthly value with us. You can't take it with you. I remember when I was in Bible college studying for ministry, the president of our college was also an evangelist, and he and his family and a team, they traveled around America sharing the gospel, singing songs, and he wrote a song that had this title, "You Ain't Never Seen a Hearse Pull a U-Haul Trailer." Now, while that's bad grammar, it is great theology, because we can't take anything with us. When we die, there is no U-Haul that loads everything up, all of our earthly possessions, and we drive it on up to the highway of heaven. It doesn't work. Nothing in this life lasts. We can't take it with us. Jesus taught about this. He says, the things of this life are not important. In Luke chapter 12, he teaches about our relationship with the world. In verse 15, he says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. You see, life is not measured by what you and I have. Jesus, in this passage, he goes on to tell the story of a very prosperous farmer who received an abundant harvest. And this farmer wanted to tear down his barns and build new barns, bigger barns, to so he could store this great wealth of grain that he had. And his motto in life was, I'm going to take it easy, I'm going to kick back, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. What he didn't know is that tomorrow he died. Because you see, God called him home, actually not home, up to heaven. He died and he experienced judgment. God called him a fool because his life was about himself. It was about this world and all that it had to offer. This man did not have an eternity-purposed life. Jesus goes on to say, right off the heels of this story, he says in verse 22, he said to the disciples, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Jesus said, God feeds the birds. He said, God clothes the flowers, the lilies of the field. You don't have to worry about your material life. God loves you. God cares about you. You're worth more than the birds. God has you in his hands. He goes on to say in verse 29, don't seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Some of you are anxious right now because of what's happening. You're anxious about your health. You're anxious about your finances. Maybe you lost your job or income, and this is a time of uncertainty. You're distressed because you don't know. You don't have the answers. Jesus is telling you, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Trust me. Christ finishes things up in verse 30. He says, the nations of the world seek after these things. Your Father knows that you need these things. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry if you're going through a difficult time. If you see a shortage, God will make up the difference. You can trust him with that. This world is not our home. It might feel like it because we're so used to being here, but the reality is this world is a hotel room. When you go to a hotel, what do? You check in, you unpack a few things, but you didn't bring your whole house with you. You kept most things to home. You travel light. And you live in the hotel room temporarily. You enjoy the hotel room, maybe the pool and some of the other things it has, but that hotel room is just temporary. And friends, this world is our temporary home. This home is not here. Our real home is in heaven. We see Paul writing about this in Colossians 3. He says in verse 1, since you've been raised to new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Heaven is a real place. It's not make-believe. And Paul says, go after the realities of heaven. Seek them. Pursue them. Make a difference for the kingdom. Our goal is not this world. Be thinking about heaven. He says, seek the realities of heaven where Christ sits at the right hand of God in a place of honor. Jesus is seated on a throne. That means he's a king. And our lives need to serve the king and his kingdom. It's not about what we can get on this world, but it's about laying up treasures in heaven, seeking the kingdom of God. Verse 2 says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, we experiment with a lot of things. We treat ourselves, we try to find joy, but joy is not found in the things of this world. We try to obtain peace and have peace by having a big bank account or trying to create a problem-free life as much as possible. But peace does not come from the things of this world. We look for fulfillment by being popular or powerful or prosperous. But some of the most popular people are miserable. Some of the most powerful people are depressed. Some of the most prosperous people feel empty and hollow. Friends, the things of this world cannot satisfy. And so our relationship with the world can't be about what can I get the most out of, but instead it needs to be focused on heaven. We need an eternity-focused life. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you want peace, if you want joy, if you want a relationship with God, we have to be eternity focused. You were created to know God. He loves you. He cares about you. And you were also created to make a difference in this world. John 3:16's purpose is really could be summed up as our mission statement. Our mission as a church is to help all people find and follow Jesus. All right, let's look at the second principle that you and I need to live by if we're going to have an eternity purpose life. Number two, the things of this world are for God's purpose, not our pleasure. The things of this world are for God's purpose and not our pleasure. If John 3:16 is God's purpose, he wants everyone to have eternal life, to go to heaven, then it follows suit that the things in this world are to help us accomplish that purpose. Craig Rochelle said, if you don't understand something's purpose, you will likely abuse it. And all over, we can see people abusing the things of this world, things that God meant for good, but because people don't understand their purpose, we abuse it, we misuse it, we use them improperly. For example, the purpose of money is to bring people to Christ, that they would have eternal life. We need to lay up treasures in heaven. That means that we tithe, that we give because that supports our church so that we can do things, we can impact the community, we can build disciples, we can minister to the next generation, we can do the things that are part of our core values and our mission of helping all people finding and following Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. We also use our finances to help support missionaries so that people all around the world can find out about Christ. That's why we do Mission Sunday on this first Sunday of the month. But it just doesn't stop with financial giving. I've known sometimes God has prompted people to give houses, to give cars, to give coats, to give purses, to give watches. All of the possessions that we have, God wants us to use them to help people find Christ and follow Christ. We're to use our earthly resources to direct people to heaven. Sometimes that's helping a coworker in need, maybe helping a mom or someone who's lost their job, helping a single mom, helping someone who's lost their job. God wants us to be sensitive to the needs that are around us and then to use our resources to help people. Another thing that people misuse is sometimes their talents and their abilities. God wants us to use our talents and abilities to influence people for Christ. Do you realize that your job is not just to provide you food and a roof over your head and a few other niceties of life? Your career, your job is to help you influence others, bringing them to Jesus. That place you're at is a mission field. Whether it's the oil field, whether it's a legal shop, whether it's a school, whether it's being a grocery store clerk, your place of employment is a mission field that God wants you to use for His glory in reaching people and bringing them to the saving knowledge of Jesus. God wants us to use our talents, use our abilities. Some of you, you can sing. You can Use your gifts on the worship team. Some of you can run computers, or you can design things. You can be part of our tech department. Some of you love children. You could work with children in the nursery or preschool pond or elementary children's church. God wants to use your abilities, your passions, your talents, your giftings to help all people find and follow Jesus. The things of this world are to help us win people to Christ. Jesus told a story in Luke 19, and in this story he was referring to himself. He's a nobleman. He's referring to himself, and he tells us how we need to live while he's gone, while he ascends up to heaven. In verse 12, it says, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return." Jesus is the nobleman in this story. He's up in heaven. He's received his crown. He's sitting at the right hand of God, like we read earlier in Colossians 3. And as he is in heaven, he is going to return someday for you and for me. It says that before he left, he calls 10 of his servants, and he delivered to them 10 minas, and he said to them, "Do business until I come." A mina was 3 months' worth of wages. Notice that Jesus said, "Do business until I come." Jesus wants us to do his work. In verse 14, it says, "His citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' And so it was that when he returned, having the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. The first servant came in, and he had been given one mina, 3 months' worth of wages. And the master said, 'What have you done?' And he says, 'I earned 10 minas. I've multiplied it 10 times. The master said, 'Well done, you will receive 10 cities. Then a servant came in who had traded five. He traded his one mina and gained five. The master said, 'Well done, you will receive 5 cities.' This process went on until one of the servants came and he said, 'Here's your money.' It was wrapped up in a handkerchief. He says, 'I knew you were a stern man. I was concerned, and so I was fearful that I was going to lose the money.'" Actually, he didn't even say I was going to lose the money. He's just fearful, and so he did absolutely nothing. And the master said, "If you knew that I was a stern businessman, that I was shrewd and I was good with money, why don't you just go to the bank, put it in the bank, and I could have at least made interest." It's interesting, but the master, who is Jesus in this story, calls the servant wicked. And the reason he was wicked, because he did absolutely nothing with what he was given. You see, this man had an opportunity to use the resources given to do something for the master, and he was too lazy to even go to the bank and put it in there. It's like he received this and he just put Jesus completely out of his mind and he went about doing his own thing. And friends, Jesus says to us who are followers of Christ, his servants, "Do business until I come." What are we doing with what we've been given? With our time, with our talent, with our resources, with our treasure. God wants us to use what we've been given, the things of this world, to bring people to know Christ. That brings us to our final purpose this morning, the final principle about an eternity purpose life, that we need to serve God and serve people. We need to serve God and serve people. Last week, we mentioned how this life is not about you. This life is not about me. This life is about God and about helping others, and that applies to our relationship with the world. We need to be serving God and serving others. You skip down a few verses in Colossians chapter 3, and Paul gets into this in verse 23. He says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Put your whole self into it. Be enthusiastic. Give yourself to it." He says, "as if you're working for the Lord, not for human masters." Our lives are to be focused on working for the Lord. Whether were oil field workers, plumbers, lawyers, grocery store clerks, teachers, whatever it might be, our lives have a calling on them to be used for God and His eternal purposes. You see, we can't take anything with us except one thing, and that's people. People will be in heaven. Everything that you and I see on this planet, the Bible tells us, is going to be burned up. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. The only thing we can take with us is souls. And so we need to be about the business of serving God and serving people, because people are really the only thing that we can take to heaven. We need to find our purpose and serve. We need to find the purpose that God has for you and for me. Your purpose is different from my purpose. Your purpose is designed for your unique design, your talents, your giftings, your abilities, your passions. Me, I am mechanically defective, all right? I am not mechanically inclined. I am not good working with my hands. God doesn't want me to work with power tools, except possibly a mower. All of us have different talents, different abilities. Some of you are great working with your hands. You can use that to help people that need work on their cars. I know I've heard of some churches where they've got people that will work on cars for single moms. It's a community outreach. And as they're sharing with moms and helping moms, taking care of their needs with their automobiles, that they are witness to about Christ. There's a lot of ways you and I can use our talents and our abilities, and we need to be willing to take the time and the energy and serve God and serve people with them. I want to wrap things up by sharing a little bit about Abraham, a story that comes out of Hebrews chapter 11. It's found in verse 8, and we're told about the call God had on Abraham's life. It says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed God when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." God told Abraham, "I want you to leave the land you're living in now, and you're to go to a place that I'll tell you." I'm not telling you where it is now, but I'll tell you when to stop. So Abraham is supposed to leave this place. Now, Abraham had been living in a city called Ur. Ur was not a mud village. It was a thriving community. It was famous for its wealth, sophistication, ornate buildings, canals, and it had one of the largest libraries of the ancient world. Twice, Ur was the capital of the world. People in Ur lived in two-story brick and plaster buildings. It also had an elaborate sewer system. Ur was a center for the arts and learning. And the people of Ur were not a bunch of primitives, but it was a prosperous place, an affluent place. And God tells Abraham, "I want you to leave this place, and I want you to go to a place you don't know where you're going." Abraham has to sacrifice a lot. He's picking up everything to head out on the road, not knowing where he's going. In verse 9, it says, "By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of that same promise." Notice that Abraham lived in tents. He gave up a home with a toilet to live in a tent. Now, my family and I, we like to go camping, and when we do, we tent. It's a lot of fun for a few days. I don't want to spend my entire life living in a tent. But that's what Abraham did. He gave up the comforts, the ease, the luxury of this world, because God called him to go to a land that he didn't know where to go. Why did God do that? Was he just trying to see how much discipline he had? Was he trying to see how obedient? No, there is a greater meaning, a greater purpose behind God asking Abraham to leave Ur. Because while Ur was a place of physical prosperity, it was a place that was spiritually bankrupt. The religion of Ur was a pantheon of gods and goddesses. The chief deity was Nana, the Sumerian moon god. There were several temples built for him and his consort Ningal. There are various other gods like Ea and Marduk. And what is taking place is, at this point in history, God wants to do something new in the history of the world. God wants to send his son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16, he so loved the world. But God can't send Christ into a dark world. God needs to prepare a nation, prepare a people that will be champions for God, that will believe in God, that will believe in God's laws and God's principles, so that when the Son does come, it can take off and it can grow and it can flourish. And because of the spiritual decadence, because of the false religions in Ur, they didn't worship the one true God. God needs Abraham to come out of this place that's full of phony spirituality to come to the real life, to worship the one true God. And that's why Moses was asked to leave this place of prosperity. This morning, God has a call for you. Are you willing to answer the call like Moses answered the call? What purpose are you living for? Are you living to serve God and people? Are you using the things of this world for heaven, for eternity, for God's purpose, and not for your own pleasure? You were created to know God and to make a difference for the kingdom. The question is, what are you living for? Are you living an eternity purpose life? What's your relationship to this world? Is the world the one that's guiding you, that's coming after you, that really is the all-encompassing force that motivates you? Or are your sights set on the realities of heaven? Let's pray. Father God, we all want real life. We want what really matters for eternity. And as we reflect on this message today, I pray that you would show us how we can better serve your purpose. This morning, I just throw out the question to you. What is your relationship with the world? How connected are you? How involved in the world are you? People live for a lot of different purposes. Some people live for money, for riches, for the things that it can buy, for the clothes, the homes, the vehicles, for the toys, the fun things to do. Some people live for notoriety, for success. They want to gain promotions at work and work their way up the ladder and be at the top of the food chain. Other people live for pleasure, for vacations, to have fun experiences. Some people are like the classmates I had when I was in school. They live for the weekends. They couldn't wait for the weekend to come so they could go out, get drunk, hook up with someone. It was a very short-term purpose in their life. And there's many purposes that you and I can live for. But the purposes of the world do not last. We can't take any of the things of the world with us. And maybe you're listening this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You maybe don't realize it, but your life on this planet is just a blip on the screen. It's just here today, gone tomorrow. And the question is, what happens to you on your last trip around the sun? The last day when the sun comes up and goes down on your life, what happens to you after that? There is an eternity that never ends. It goes on forever. And what you and I do in this life determines how we spend the afterlife. John 3:16 says, God so loves the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants you to have everlasting, eternal life with him. But all of us have the potential of perishing. He says he doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to die. You see, that's why God sent his Son. Jesus came to die for our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And this morning, God wants you. He's extending an invitation to you to receive this gift of eternal life. You can't work for a gift. A gift is given. It's given because you're loved, not because of something that you've done, but because of who you are. Because you see, God created you. He created me for heaven. God wants a relationship with you. And this morning, He's knocking on the door of your heart. He's saying, "Will you let me in?" How do you let Him in? We need to confess that we're sinners. We realize that I have sinned. I deserve to die. But I believe that Jesus died for me. And so we confess our sin, but then we also confess Jesus as our Lord. Lord is another name for boss, or you could say king. Remember, He's sitting up in heaven at the right hand of God. He's on the throne. He's a king, but Jesus wants to be the king of your life. He wants to be the leader of your life. And we need to surrender our lives to Him and ask for His forgiveness and leadership. And if you would like to do that, I want you to say right now, wherever you're listening to this, I just want you to say, "I want eternal life. I want eternal life. I want life with God forever." Some of you are followers of Jesus, and I throw out the question to you is, what is your purpose? The only thing we can take to heaven is people. Nothing else in this life really, truly matters. Nothing will last for eternity. And so, are you serving people, or are you having people serve you? What about your money? Are you using money for God's purposes or for your own purposes? And you're kind of not laying up treasures in heaven. You're just being that servant going about your life, doing what you want to do. God wants us to use our finances to bring others to know Him. He wants us to use our time and our talent. How are you doing in that area? Are you using your gifts and your passions to make an impact in people's lives? Do you know what God's call is? God has a call for everyone. Maybe for some of you, that call is something big like Abraham. Maybe He's saying, "I want you to leave the place you're at. Maybe I want you to become a minister or become a missionary." Maybe God is calling you to do something that's way out of your comfort zone. Or maybe it's something small like, "I just want you to call your neighbor. I want you to start a Bible study. I want you to help Pastor Zach and join the camera crew. I want you to help Pastor Daniel up in Kids Church." There's a lot of things you and I can do, but the question is, what is God saying to you? I want you to take some time today and get alone with God and let Him speak to you about living for eternity's purpose. How does God want you and I to live more for eternity than we're living for the world? I'm going to say a prayer this morning, and I would like you to join me applying the parts of the prayer that relate to your life. Father God, I thank You for Your love. You purposefully sent Jesus to die for my sin. Forgive me. I repent of my sin. I want You to lead my life. Help me discover Your plans for my unique design. I will use the things of this world for Your purposes, not my pleasure. Help me influence others. Help me make a difference for both now and eternity. I give myself to You completely. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You and I, we experience the real life in Christ when we live for eternity. When the purpose of our heart is, "God, I want to build Your kingdom. I want to depopulate hell and populate heaven." God is giving you and I an opportunity this week to do that very thing, to live an eternity purpose life. And I look forward to hearing what God does in you and in me and in our church as we live for eternity. God bless. Go in His power, in His might. He loves you. He died for you so that you can know Him and make a difference for the kingdom of God.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.